Always a joy to be with you. Been here a few times before, and I've enjoyed every time I've been. And I appreciate you people. I'm thankful for you and your pastor, who's been a blessing to me over the years. And he was reared in Winston-Salem, about 25, 30 miles from my home. I'm just glad to be with you this morning. I want to make a statement that I've been making for about 38 years. And that is that every Sunday, the first day of the week, is a memorial to the resurrection. To set aside one day is man-made. And I could have stopped many places yesterday and had an Easter egg hunt on the way over here. There's just going on all the way over here. Every church or two I see is having an Easter egg hunt. But I am interested in the resurrection. Christ is resurrection. This past year I laid my dear mother, planted her in the grave, along with my father. A few years before. And last night I got a call, and my 92-year-old uncle passed away last night, and he'll be laid in the grave this week. And also, I think about myself. If the Lord doesn't come, I'll be laid in the grave, and you will too. So I'm interested in this. But I'm interested in this also, the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give you the title of the message today is Three Steps in His Exaltation. So turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28 and verse number 6. And here's the first step. As you know, the Lord, as He came to this earth, as He lived here, as He went to the cross, as He suffered, all of this, His birth, His life, the cross, His death, is called humiliation. The Son of God, coming from glory to this world. So, now, here's the first step of His exaltation. Here in the book of Matthew in 28 and verse number 6. He is not here, for He is risen. And He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. So you see this humiliation of His coming and His life as He lived here upon earth. And now here's the first step, that of His exaltation. He's risen. We see the angel in verse number 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not. Here's Mary and the other Mary. Fear not, for I know whom ye seek, Jesus, which was crucified. So the angel gave this good tidings. He is risen. And this speaks of His finished His course, that His work is finished, that glorious work, and it's a seal to the great redemption that He came into this world for. So we have the declaration and confirmation. The negative part is, He is not here. And the positive part, He is risen. This word risen, it speaks of an active power. It speaks of self-quickening. And didn't He say, I lay down my life and I can take it up again? Our Lord did. He also said, I am the resurrection and the life, didn't He? And what has all been foretold is now declared. And he is risen. Now the whole weight of faith, hope, and salvation is upon this. As the brother read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if he's not risen, faith is vain. It says if he's not risen, you're still in your sins. What a thought that would be. If we're still in our sins, we're thankful that he is risen. He's raised again. It also says the dead perish if he's not risen. It was a day of the great earthquake. If you had noticed in verse 52 of the 27th chapter, the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That is a pledge of our resurrection, that these saints came forth, that one day all the saints is going to come forth. It was a day that Jesus Christ was declared the very Son of God by resurrection from the dead. It's called a day of the first fruits. And our resurrection is secured by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be a happy and a blessed day. That's going to come forth the whole harvest. The elect in the scriptures is called the children of the resurrection. The Bible says we die in Adam, we rise in Christ. It's a day of that of the firstborn from the dead, that he dieth no more. He came forth as a firstborn. He always has the preeminence. Have you noticed that in the scriptures? Always he has the preeminence, the Lord Jesus Christ does. So Christ's resurrection is a type of that of his believing people, the pattern of the saints' resurrection. He's the efficient cause of it. Over in the book of Philippians, if you turn with me there to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21, it says, who shall change our vile body, that it may fashion like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's the first. He's the best. He's raised and he's glorified. Now, I'd like for you to notice this, and in studying this past week, I come across, I'm not sure who I read, but it said that our bodies, it's a state of humiliation for our bodies too, as we live here. Christ lived here in a state of humiliation, glorified. You live here in a state of humiliation in your bodies, you'll be glorified too. I thought that was a pretty good thought this morning, or when I read that thought. Notice also in this that it says they change our vile body, that it's not another, but it's the same. Now Christ, we look at him as he came forth, and our bodies, it says here that who shall change our vile body, that is, we look at it, and this corruption, as he read a while ago, and chapter 15 of the first chapter of Corinthians, this corruption must put on incorruption, this mortal immortality. So it's called a resurrection, not a creation. And our bodies is going to be improved in that of the resurrection as they fail in weakness. They're going to be raised in power. No more capable of that of sorrow and pain and dishonored, but raised in glory. The scripture says, sown a natural body and raised a spiritual body. There'd be no flaws and defects and deformity. And as Christ is raised to die no more, we'll be raised to die no more. It tells us also, as we look at Christ, that he's raised to be glorified, crowned with that of honor, and God's children is going to be raised. Their glorified body is going to be in heaven. There their souls go, and there's going to be that of reunion one day. Who shall change our vile bodies? Job made this statement, and let me just read this to you if I find it right quickly in the book of Job. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. You know, Job said also, I know my Redeemer liveth, didn't he? You know what he's speaking of there? The resurrection of Christ. When he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. So all because Christ is victorious. And the angel said, he's not here but risen. We arise also. Turn with me to John now, the 20th chapter of the book of John. And here's the second step of that of exaltation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John 20 and verse number 17. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Here it is. I ascend. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to glory. I'm going back to the Father. And it's interesting to note here, he told Mary, he says, touch me not. But in the next chapter, he told Thomas to touch him, didn't he? Told him to touch him. There's going to be a time of embracing to Mary. He said, I ascend to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. He's a father to the Lord Jesus Christ, an eternal generation. One time a brother of mine, we was discussing the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son. And some have denied that in history. But I went to Philpott, and Philpott made one statement. And I've always remembered this statement, and this just solves it all. If God's the eternal Father, Christ is the eternal Son. I mean, that just solves everything. He's the eternal Father. He is the eternal Father. Now, he said, our Father also. It's different, isn't it? We are children by adoption. We are children by that of the regeneration. And so he that ascended now says, I ascend. That same person, that whole person. And he goes to the most holy place within that of the veil. And he ascends there as a forerunner. He goes there to enter for us. He enters into that of his own very name. And on our account he enters and here again is how the Old Testament saints got to heaven and went to heaven. They entered in his name and on his account. That's how all people get to heaven. I don't care who they are. I had a discussion about a year or so ago. And they was trying to tell me about the Old Testament. I said, everybody's ever went to heaven went the same way. They went by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went by his suffering and his death, his resurrection. They go there that way. So he ascended. Now, let me give you some reasons necessary for that of his ascension. If he had not ascended, would we have had an interceder in heaven? I'm glad that that's what he does in heaven. He's an advocate. The Bible says, and I'm glad of this verse, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If any man sin, we are sinners. But we have an advocate in the Father. We have a friend in heaven. We have a surety in heaven. We have there one for us, and here he ascends. Here's his exaltation. He comes forth from the grave, and now he ascends to the Father. He goes there to prepare a place for us. He said, if I go, I come again and receive you, didn't he? He makes way for our very coming. He ascended also to enjoy glory forever. The scripture says, ought not Christ to suffer and enter into glory? We look at him on earth and how he was treated. But now he says, I ascend. He goes back to heaven. Goes back there. As he says, I sin, it means this morning also that he's paid all. I sort of like that song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He made full satisfaction this morning because he ascended and paid all. There's nothing against us. What a blessing. I'd hate to think I had to come up with something, wouldn't you? But he's paid it all. The dear Lamb of God has paid it all. In his person and his work. He also ascended to send a comforter. He said, I'll send another to abide with us. The one that takes the things of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And he shows us Christ, his work. He shows us his death and his resurrection, his ascension, his intercession, the blessed Spirit. His ascension also sets forth that he's fulfilled all the types and the prophecies of the Old Testament, these that set forth his death and his burial and his resurrection, his ascension. Now it's all fulfilled. What's been foretold is fulfilled. So he says, I ascend. Exaltation. Now let me give you the third step. Found in the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. Look at this step of exaltation. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Now notice, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's exaltation. Christ returned to the Father. Having finished that of his work here, that whole work, now he's bid to set on the right hand of the Father. This is a seat of honor. A seat prepared for him. Oh, how things has changed. We look at his life. The groaning. Bible says he wept. He labored. There's his suffering. Sweating. No rest. But now look at it.
He's entered into his rest. Sat down on the highest throne.
And notice this, when he hath by himself purged our sins. I like that, don't you? I like the purging. And I like when it says our sins, my sins. He hath by himself done it. He's the only one that can do it. And it speaks emphatically. That's what he's done. That's what he's done. Our very sin purged him. And it's only a work that he could do. He came in this humble state to do this glorious work. And now, he has the highest honor. And the highest authority. Supreme. That of dominion. The book of Psalms says, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So we understand this is a favorite place. We understand it's a place of the greatest of honor and that of power. And also of nearness. See, it's written that we might understand right here, the right hand. It's a place that he's highly esteemed. You know, he didn't say to any angels, sit on my right hand, did he? It's a place of exaltation, of that of the very highest. And he says all things is going to be put under his feet. He is the enthroned king. He is sovereign. He is supreme. He has all power. Matthew says, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. And also it tells us how near he is to the Father. It implies some things for us. And that is that he has perfectly and completely finished his work and ended it. Look over in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse number 11 and 12 of the 10th chapter. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The priest stands. Christ sits. The priest did it daily. Christ once and once for all. The priest could not take away sin, but Christ takes away our sins. It also implies the Father's satisfaction in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine in your minds the welcoming back to heaven of the Son after completing that of his work and that he came to do? You know, the Old Testament says before he came daily, he is the Father's delight. Now he comes back and sits at the right hand. It's like congratulations to the work performed, the work fully done. Your accomplishment of this great work. He's an able and faithful servant when he is here, Christ was. And here he goes back to the Father. And the highest glory is not too high for our Savior. Look what he accomplished.
Now, what he accomplished was set out in eternity. And now he's fulfilled it, and he's exalted back to the right hand of the Father. It also implies this morning how the advancement of the Lord Jesus Christ as human nature as a God-man, as he came into this world. Here he's mediator, the God-man, and he goes back to heaven. He carries with him the marks of the cross, doesn't he? He carries that with him back. Adoration is due him. Honor is due him as a God-man. This also shows why a lot of people is wrong. The scripture says, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. Christ is to be honored. The Father is to be honored. The epistles, they wrote like this, says, ask grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's to be honored. It implies this morning the sovereignty of Christ and the supremacy of Christ over both worlds, that of heaven and earth. And the scripture says, he must reign, that he reigns. Talks about all things in subjection to that of his feet. He's over the church. He's the absolute Lord. He's over his spiritual kingdom. He's over also the providential kingdom. He's over the whole world. And he orders and he rules. He's at the right hand of the Father. It also implies this morning that he's conquered all his enemies. And they're at his feet. He has opposition, but he's totally above them. He can do what he wants to. They'll fall before him when he wants them to fall before him. When he came in the garden, he just spoke a word, they all fell backward, didn't they? He has all power. He can strike his enemies just at any time, and he can strike the enemies of the church at any time he wants to. It also shows to us this morning the state of change. As he came into this world, he lived, he died, he ascended, and from this abasement, we see his exaltation. Think this morning about him being born in a stable. Now he reigns in the highest. Laid in a manger. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father. Oh, glory to the Son. There was oxen, the animals round about him. Now there's the saints and the angels worshiping him. Here he is called the carpenter's son. Now he has the most excellent name of all, doesn't he? Angels worship him. He spoke and he said he had no place to lay his head. But scripture says now he's heir to all things. Heir. By the way, it says you're joint heirs. Joint heirs. Here, Isaiah said he had no form, comeliness, or beauty. But now his countenance is glorious. Brightness. Do you remember reading that the place where he is needs no sun? God's the brightness. Christ is the brightness of it. Here he's sweating. Now he rests. Here he groaned. Now he triumphs. He sits on the throne of glory. We look at this and we think about his love. We think about his love to the Father. And we also think about his love to his people. How he loved. He passed through such woe. Now he rests. It's called the travail in his soul. Now he rests. And it also speaks to us of the advancement of the believer. His believers. You know, we're going to be with him. And here's the honor. He prays. And you know what he prays for? We behold his glory. Now I've heard preachers and people speak, and I've heard them speak of heaven. And they say some of the wild and worldly things, earthly things. Mr. Spurgeon said this. He said, people have a blind notion. They expect a carnal heaven. A deacon of one of the churches we laid in the grave a few weeks ago, and they called me to help in the funeral, and he's a good friend of mine all these years. And after he retired, he liked to play golf. And he and I used to play golf together at one time, not much. And somebody told my wife, said, well, he's now up there in heaven playing golf. So he's had a big time playing golf in heaven. I went to a funeral of a young man, and all they could talk about, he's up there dancing around heaven and having a big time. Look what Christ, right, here's what he prayed for. This is what's going to happen. You're going to behold his glory. That's what he prayed for. You're going to see him as he is. And you're going to reign with him. I'm glad he prayed that. Go behold his glory. Stephen got a glimpse of him. And you know what happened? His face shone. This teaches us. As he's enthroned in heaven. That he sits on the right hand of the Father. That his interest here on earth is not going to miscarry. He's going to manage it. And I'm glad he's managing it today, aren't you? He's enthroned at the right hand of the Father. He's exalted there. He's managing his affairs here on earth. His church. He's the enthroned King. King of kings and Lord of lords. It also teaches us that as he's at the right hand of the Father, you know, we can go to him, but we go to him in reverence, worship. We can go to the throne of grace, time of need. He's enthroned there. And we can just go to him. I'm thankful of this, that we can come to Christ. We can come boldly. We have liberty as children of this King. Come with love and reverence. So here's the exaltation. He's not here. He's risen. I see him. I go back to the Father. He sits down at the right hand of the Father. The exaltation of Christ. Let me leave one other thought with you this morning. And that is this. It's not what kind of funeral that we have. That's what not what matters. The question is, how shall we rise again? That's the question. Glorious or damned? Isn't that how people's going to rise again? one way or another, glorious or not. It says all shall come forth from the grave. Oh, how glorious. You know, the scripture even says that we now sit with Christ in the heavenlies. Sit with Him. He's our representative. We're there with Him. So, think about this, the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Victorious, triumphant Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, the highest, supreme, the highest place of honor, forever and ever. May the Lord bless you. Our Father, we are thankful for the exaltation of our Savior, that You've exalted Him, that He has gone forth and sits at Thy right hand as our advocate. We are thankful today for this. And we just come before You with thanksgiving in our hearts and for the message of redemption, the message of resurrection, and the message of ascension, and the message that Your people will behold Christ's glory forever. Bless His people in Christ's name. Amen.